taking notes. It says rejoice. I was like, is that an encouragement to me? Oh no. Oh, I guess one of the songs y'all sang. All right. I'm gonna take instruction, Pastor. Yes, sir. You get up here and rejoice. Praise God. Praise God. We want to welcome all of you who are joining us by live stream. It definitely is something different for us where we're coming and conducting service. There's a few of us here, but most of you have to join us by live so that we can comply with what the city is asking us to do. But no matter whether you're there or you're here, we're all joined together in the Spirit. Yes. Amen. Amen. And I got to tell you that even with us here, I've experienced even greater freedom being just with us here, experiencing the presence of God. And if you're joining us here, then you have that same opportunity to experience God in your living room or in your bedroom, or you in there. I know you're still cooking. You're cooking while you're listening. That's okay. You can still enjoy the presence of God. So I wasn't sure, Pastor, did you go ahead and join people to invite people to join us on live? What we had talked about. You did? I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to do it because, man, I remember when our pastor Michelle said that we are still taking ground. And so we are still, instead of allowing the enemy to confine us, we're going to reach beyond our borders. So right now, I know I'm shocking some of you. Where the camera? Camera's right there. I'm shocking some of you because you didn't think I was going to ask you to do nothing. No, I'm going to ask you to move your blessed assurance and grab your phone. Everybody grab their phone. And I don't know how you're watching, but maybe you're watching on phone or Roku, but I want you to go to your live. Don't know how you do it on Facebook, but you can go to YouTube. Open it up. I just did it. Open it up. Go to YouTube or Facebook. I don't know what you would do if you're on Facebook. And press the share button. As right now, I want you to pick somebody in your contact list and invite them to join us right now. You tell them, come listen to this. Right, type that right on your, press share. It's going to pull up the YouTube link for this service. And right underneath that, you can type, come listen to this. And then when you hit either, I don't know, Instagram, text, whatever your social media choice is, once you hit that, is going to bring up your contacts, select somebody in your contact, and share it with them and invite them to come and join us. Amen. We are still, we're not using the cards right now, but we're still reaching out to other people. So we want you to do that, share that with them, and make somebody else is going to join us and be blessed because of an action you take. Amen. 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 I think I'm going to get to it later. I'm not sure when, if God will let me do it, but I want to talk about not only is God positioning us for a blessing, but he's also positioning us to be a blessing. Yeah. Amen. That's not mine. I got that from somebody else. And I said, that's so good. I'm going to steal it. Position to be a blessing. So be a blessing. Share the link with somebody. Invite them to come and join us. All right, so we're not going to be before you long today. I am going to share with you about getting freed from your fear. Now, I got to tell you, I'm going to tell all of you, this is not the message. This was part of the message. This might be a third of the message. But as I was writing the notes and got down to this part, God said, stop right there. And I said, but Lord, there's like 2-3 more parts to this thing. He said, no, stop right there. So all I'm sharing is this part. We don't know what however else it may come, but I'm just going to share this part, getting freed from fear. And y'all know what I'm talking about, man, because me and Anisha, we go for walks now, which, hey, the corona was good for us. We get to take walks together. She's at home. Soon as she steps out of the office from some work, I say, hey, you want to go walking with me? So, yeah, we'll go ahead and walk. So we get out there, and we're walking and talking. One of the things we're going to talk about is the coronavirus and what's going on. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, if you're out someplace, or even if you're in this place, people will give you the corona look. Have you guys noticed that? They will give you the corona look. If you walk by and you like accidentally cough, you know, because it's high pollen in the air or whatever, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to scare anybody in here. But you give a little cough, all of a sudden you'll see all the faces next to you do go like that, chunky, that look. You know, I call that the corona look. I've given it to my wife. She's like, boy, you know I'm all right. Leave me alone. But man, come on now. What I'm talking about is people being gripped with fear. And that's the only part that I don't like about the thing that the media does. It's okay to inform. That's okay. We want that. Report what's going on. However, when you're reporting things in such a way that people get terrorized, why they call them terrorists, now you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. And they know what they're doing. It's one of the things me and my wife talked about. If you listen to the media coming up to Resurrection Sunday weekend, they call it Easter weekend, they were one of the things that they were so frightened about is all these people were going to come out and go to church because it was Easter Sunday. And even to the point where people got messages Saturday, I think it was Saturday, could have been Friday, make sure you stay home and don't go out. And I looked over at my wife, I said, you know what that is. They saying, make sure you don't go out and go to church. That's what they were saying. And right after that, one of the first news reports out there, all these churches that were meeting by Corona, and one of the pastors got Corona. To justify, hey, man, these people shouldn't be meeting. I was laughing at them because they told this one pastor, hey, man, you need to shut your door. He said, you didn't shut the door to that drive-in liquor store. How come I got to shut my doors? Man, can you believe that? Where liquor is considered to be an essential service, but not the ministering of God? That's just completely backwards. So what I want to talk about is getting free from fear, because one of the things that we know is that fear paralyzes, right? Fear makes you stop. One of the things that I do not like at all, it makes my skin creep, is snakes. I hate snakes. I mean, with a passion. And for some reason, and this is the weird part of me, I hate snakes, but I'll be on YouTube and I'll see somebody that they'll say something with a snake and I'll watch it. Just weird, you know, I gotta get free. They're gonna lay hands on me out of the service. But anyway, this one particular video had popped up, right? And I forgot what the title was, but it was like, man comes face to face with snake. Of course, I gotta see what happened here. And it was a dude, one of these nature people. I'm gonna come out and I'm gonna show you that nothing's wrong with these snakes. And a snake was coming across his path. So he sat down, right? He sat down. So I'm gonna come face to face with the snake, show you there's nothing to be worried about. And so the snake was slithering up, right? So as the snake is getting close to him, he's sitting down. He said, okay, now I'm gonna be still because I don't wanna frighten the snake. He don't want to frighten the snake. I was like, well, you already somewhere else that I'm not, because I'm already nervous. I was in the living room nervous. So the snake is slithering up to him, and it gets close to his pen. Now the snake's in striking distance. And my heartbeat is raising. I'm watching this thing. I'm not in the woods. But my heartbeat is racing. And so the snake got real close, and he sat there, and they stayed with like that for 2 or 3 minutes. And so he said to this cameraman, I don't know what the cameraman's doing. I'd have been freaking out. But he says, man, I got to do something to move this snake. I just can't leave it here. So he reaches out his hand slowly and grabs a stick. That's what I'm sticking on snake. Grabs a stick and kind of lightly taps the snake in the rear. Now, I already thought that's a bad idea. I thought the whole thing was a bad idea. But he reaches out because he tapped it and it moved a little bit. And so he tapped it again and it moved a little bit. And so I'm like, man, this has got to go bad. And so he reached out to tap it again, and all of a sudden, because first it was just kind of doing that. All of a sudden, it moved like this and jumped up on his waist. And I kid you not, I let out a shout. Ah! And Anitra stuck her head out of the corner. Boy, what's wrong with you? I'm in the living room. I'm watching. And it shook me. Fear gripped my heart, man. And I'm telling you, fear paralyzes. You know, I didn't know what to do. And I just thought that was a crazy situation. But it paralyzes and keeps you from acting. That's the general thing. But there's another part of fear that people usually use who are in positions of power, and that is fear actually acts as a control mechanism by those who have power. And watch this. I want to give you a couple examples, and then we're going to go through the scriptures. You guys remember back in World War I, World War II, Hitler came up and ruled Nazi Germany, right? One of the things Hitler did is he created a state of terror by intimidating and brutally, well, massacring people, doing whatever to the population, right? He had his guard called the SS, and they controlled the concentration camps. And they would put people in there. They put Jewish people in there, dissidents, people that spoke out against the government. Anybody that Hitler didn't like, or they deemed a threat, or said that Jews were inferior people, they put them in these concentration camps. And the concentration camps, we already know from history, were very brutal. Very brutal. And as word got out about what was happening in these camps, the populace became frightened because they did not want to get arrested and thrown into these camps. And so what it did is it kept them from speaking out against the government, doing things that they know they should do. Some people were hiding Jewish people, others refused to do it. Other people started reporting, hey, there's a Jewish person over here, there's a Jewish person over there, all the way up to the point to where they got people to join what they were doing. And so what you see in that situation is not just fear to terrorize people, but actually control the masses. I'm going to make you so afraid that I'm going to get you to not do X and only do Y. So fear can be used to control. You know the interesting thing? The SS group that was in charge of the concentration camps, that you, when they show them television, you see them wearing armbands and stuff, that was originally his personal bodyguard. You think about that? That was originally just his bodyguard group, and that's what he developed that group into. Fear can be used to control you. Now, let me show you something. Turn to Hebrews 2. Pull that up on your apps. Or if you're still using analog stuff, turn the pages. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Watch this. I didn't see this until God showed it to me. Wait a minute. Watch this. This better be what I think it is. Oh. No, it's not Hebrews 2. Let me see. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared humanity. Yeah. That's it. All right. Verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, talking about Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You see that? So it's not that the devil used fear to enslave the people. Because if you're enslaved, then you are then controlled. And by Jesus sacrificing himself, it freed us from the control or the fear of death. I hadn't seen that before. But fear can actually be used to control you, to keep you from doing something. Turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to show it to you again, just in a little bit different light. That was a little bit direct, showing you how the enemy. Let me show you how he actually used that and manipulated the populace in the way that you can see it. 1 Peter 3, and we'll start at 13. 3 and 13. Listen to these instructions. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Look at the instruction here. The instruction is, don't be afraid to do good. And what am I fearing? You're fearing punishment. In this instance, in that situation where they were in, where Jesus is gone and the apostles are there, and even you saw when Saul went out and he persecuted the saints, the believers, and they were killing people. And even after then, you had the Pharisees and the council seeking out people that were following Christ and persecuting them, or you just had rabble risers who were against those that were of the way, they called it. That's a religious sect. It's a heretical sect. Get them out the way. And so what you see is Peter instructing them, don't be afraid to do good. So the fear was intended to keep them from doing good. What did God say? To him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is fear. See, it overtly in Hebrews, it was the devil had the fear of death over people to control them. Here you see it actually put in practice, because those that the devil had control over were terrorizing the people to try to get them to stop doing what God may have led them to do. So God's encouraging them, don't stop doing good. Don't be afraid to do good, to do the right thing. God wants you to resist the temptation to fear. I'll give you an example, before I go on. I remember one thing before I went on to work at Kids Across America. I worked at a camp called Wild U. It was on the campus of the University of Texas. And when I got that job, God had just whisked me into his graces. I was gung-ho. I was following God. I wanted to do the right thing. And I was like sharing the gospel. I was a resident counselor. I had kids that I was in charge of. They were on my floor. And I made sure they went to class, went to eat, and all that kind of stuff, right? So I just made sure that as my kids were there, I would share Christ with them or encourage them or whatever. If I had an opportunity to bring some kids to church, I would do that. Pastor Jim saw those. Me do that a couple of times. But anyway, some of the people started complaining that the counselors that stayed at home on Sunday were complaining because they were in charge of the kids if other people were away. And they was like, man, this is too much work on us. And so the director came to me and said, John, you know what? You're going to have to stay in instead of going to church. And I was like, whoa, man. But when I took the job, I asked you, was it okay if I went to church on Wednesday and Sunday? Because that was important to me. And probably now, later in my walk, a Mormon too, it might not be as big of a thing, because I can handle it. But I need to tell you, when we go on vacation on Sunday, I'm like, hey, we need to find a place to go worship. She's like, you just being religious. I'm like, man, I wanna get into the presence of God with people. That's just part of my discipline. It's part of my discipline then. And he said, man, and so I was afraid at that time, I'm about to lose this job. And so he said, John, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to ask you to not do this particular thing. And I told him, I was just reading Acts, and I said, well, man, who should I fear? Him who can kill the soul, or just the person that can kill the body? I said, forget it, that man, I'm gonna fear God. I'm just gonna have to give up the job because I'm not gonna stop going to church. And he was like, whoa, hold on, you know. But I had to push past my fear. Now that check wasn't big, so, you know, not that much of a temptation, but I was faced with something and had to make a decision. Here, Peter's encouraging you, look, don't stop doing good because you fear. And how does that relate to the corona thing? Again, even though we are like this and you're worshiping with us in your living room and they're telling you that we want you to do the social distance thing, you can still reach out to people and encourage them in God. The technology actually enables you to do it. You can do it and not be disobedient. The only thing that would keep you from doing it is the fear. Is the fear. And unless you're just completely lazy and I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't do anything. I'm in the house. No, I'm telling you, you can be more potent now than you were before. You got friends, you got people that you know, and you don't even have to be in their presence. You can just send them a little memo. Thinking about you today, God loves you. And watch God use that to his advantage. But we have to get past the fear. Let me show you something else. Let me show you to it again, or give you direction. The way that you overcome the fear, and that, because that's what we're dealing with. We just want to deal with the fear. The way that you overcome the fear is to focus your faith. The way that you overcome the fear is to focus your faith. Go back to the story that Brian just shared where you got everybody's in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. Jesus has just ministered. We're going to the other side. They're in the boat, and a storm comes up. And all the disciples are in fear that this storm is going to topple them over and they're going to die. And they're all in fear up until the point that somebody decides to look at Jesus. Now, while they were looking at the storm, they were in fear. While they were looking at the storm, they were facing the problem. While they were looking at the storm, they were measuring the problem. This storm is bigger than I am. I've never come across this storm before. There's no way that we can make it through this storm. And they weren't distracted from the storm till they decided to focus on the one that has strength above the storm. You can't defeat the storm when you're focused on the problem. And I'm saying, I don't mind the news coming out and you getting the news and you're getting the information, but if you're meditating on the stuff they're telling you, you're going in the wrong direction. I'm going to listen to that, but I want to focus on God. In Him, I'm infused with strength. Damon just mentioned a minute ago, he said, I want to encourage you. One of the things that you do when you encourage people, you fill them with strength. You fill them with strength. Be filled with strength. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who is God? Who is our strength? The Lord is my strength and my shield. Come on. God is our strength. So you don't focus on the problem. You focus your faith. Turn with me. We're going to stay there. We'll go with 1 Peter 3 and 15. 3 and 15. Going back to that. Watch what it says here. But even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. See, I get away from the fear and I focus my faith. Let me read that to you. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Phillips, be completely devoted to Christ in your hearts. Focus your faith. The message, through which, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ, your master. When fear comes to attack me, when fear faces me to oppose me, my example is to focus my faith. I direct it toward God because in God I find my strength. When the devil came to Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness, and he challenged him, Jesus always redirected the challenge toward God. Come on, if you're hungry, eat this stuff. What did he say? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Come on. He refocused his faith, redirected it toward God. Come on, man. Throw yourself out this mountain. The angels will save you. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He refocused his faith. Come on, man. This corona is going to be here. This thing is going to spike. You said, no. Our God is the healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals me. Come on. This thing's going to be here to what? No. The Lord says that whatever I bind on earth is bound in the heavens. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in the heavens. The corona is bound. I'm going to tell you right now, people have been praying in this church from, I don't remember the day, but even when we started to deal with it, we declared in this church that it had already ended. It had already turned around. And what did they do? Just the other day, they said in New York that they are already seeing the curve, that it's already flattening out. It's already flattened out. Well, I told you, said, man, they may not see it yet, but it's already out there. Why? Because we have to focus our faith. Come on. We stand in the gap. We're God's watchers. We stand in the gap and we say, hey, you can touch my finances, but you can't touch my faith. Come on, man. Come on. You can touch my body, but you can't touch my faith. Amen. When the devil came to Job to test him, he told God, I can test him. I can break him. God said, well, you can touch these things, but you cannot touch his life. Come on, y'all. Focus and direct your faith in your God. Let me give you another example. Go to Acts 3. I'm going to summarize the story just so you know where I'm at. All right. So what we have here is Peter and John, and they're doing that. John, the Holy Spirit has already fell. Peter stood up and gave that great sermon to the people. This is not that, you know, you don't, we're not drunk, drunk as you will see, but this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Josiah. He preaches that eloquent service, and 5,000 people get saved, and they're doing a thing, and it says, as they're practicing, they're going back and forth to the temple. Now, as they go back and forth to the temple, they come across a crippled man. The crippled man, just like the blind man of Jesus healed, is at the temple begging for alms from people going into the temple. And the Bible says that when Peter and John got before him and he's asking people for money, Peter said, look at us. So he's there focused on the problem. This is how I'm dealing with the problem. And Peter said, look at us. Focus yourself. Direct yourself. Come on. Silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Focus yourself. Come on. You were looking for one thing, but I want to direct you to the answer. He wasn't even looking for what he needed, but God supplied what he needed even without him asking. Come on, man. Our God is a supernatural God. He said, look at us. Focus yourself. And he met his God. Now, after that situation is when the problem happened. Because this dude hopped up, he's jumping around, and that's just what you need. When you're in a place where people are terrorizing you and they're threatening you, you need the witness to jump around and let everybody know, God did something for me right here. He's jumping around. Woo! God did it. I'd like to think Peter and them might have done it and say, hey, man, keep it on the low. Right? That's not what they did. The council got wind in that. They said, we need to talk to these fellas. Because when the people came out, Peter had the brilliant idea to say, don't think it was us that healed this man. This man was healed in the name of Jesus, whom you killed. That's not how you start the sermon. You don't want to agitate the people, but Peter's filled with the Spirit. Whom you killed. So the Sanhedrin went in there and they grabbed Peter and John, brought them in and said, hey, what are you guys doing? And then Peter starts in with his spiel again about how the great power of Jesus healed it. And that's when you get the text where it says that they knew that Peter and John were unlearned, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And they said, we can't let this keep going on. These guys keep preaching in his name. It's going to wreck our discipline. And they threaten them, say, look, go out there. You stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Don't do that. And right there, they have the opportunity to fear. Now, what were they doing? They were trying to spread the word, right? It's what God told them to do. Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost parts of the world. They were stuck in Jerusalem, but they were getting out there. Acts 4:29, that's the story in 3. Watch this, 4:29. You got the background. And tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. Now, Lord, this is Peter. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Consider their threats. Lord, they threatened us with some type of punishment. Lord, they're threatening us. To ruin us, to devour us. Consider that threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They got threatened. They had the opportunity to fear, but they focused their faith. Come on now. Consider their threats. I know it. We're compliant. We don't have anybody in here. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't care if we did. If Richard had said, hey, man, we just going to let people come, I would have been down with it. Why? Not because I want to be rebellious. He would have had to have heard from God. He would have had to have heard from God. But if God says, let my people come, That's where I would have been. Lord, consider their threats. They're trying to penalize us for being obedient to you. Now grant that we may preach your word with boldness. I'm going to tell you why they don't think the church is essential, because the world on a global scale don't see the power of God coming out of the church. That's what it is. You had people coming in here with corona and they were getting healed. I don't think they say anything. I don't think they say anything. I think they say, you know what? It's okay for them to go there because there's healing in that place. But we've lost something, people, where we are trusting in our God to be the God that we think he is. I'm gonna tell you this story. Tina and Demetrius. Yeah, probably Demetrius, but damn, they should know it. It's not my story. This is a pastor, what you call the story? No. Elevation Church. Ferdy, this is his story. Remember, this is a story he tells about his little girl. She thought she heard something in the bathroom. See, she remembers. She came running out. She got on her dad's like, Dad, I'm scared. Said something in the bathroom. Pastor Steve said, Baby, it's nothing in the bathroom. But even if it was, don't matter, because you're here with me. And he said, you would think she'd be encouraged. She said, but Dad, I'm still scared. Well, that's actually not the story I want to tell. His son said, asked him a question, said, Dad, said, yeah, how come God doesn't do the miracles that he used to do back in the old times? Now, he went on to say something else, but I'm telling you right now, that's the question for the church. Do we still believe that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do we still believe that? Have we focused ourselves to stand on our faith and say, even in the midst of this, our God still healed? But I know so-and-so, they just died from corona just the other day. Are we encouraged enough to say, I don't care what you saw, our God is a God that heals and will rise up in this situation now? We used to be like that. We used to be like that. But sometime the way, we've gotten afraid. I'm telling you, let's not be afraid. Let's focus our faith. People need to know that there is still a God that can heal. And I'm not against the doctors. I'm glad the doctors are trying to do whatever they're trying to do to stave this thing off. But at the present moment, this seems to be above them. I want to let people know that, hey, your hope doesn't have to just rely on the doctors. But who's going to share that word if we don't share that word? But John, what if somebody dies? Doesn't change the truth of the word. We don't know it all down here. I don't know why certain things happen the way they happen. I just know God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We don't do things the same way. You just got to trust him. Hey, he's a good God, and he's doing good things for his people. I'm talking about focus your faith so that God can show himself strong on our behalf. Can't do that if the Christian is hiding behind their doors afraid of corona. And I'm not saying the threat's not real. I'm not telling you go out and kiss somebody that got corona. I'm telling you, you can be a source of strength and encouragement for people that are out there afraid, which is what we're supposed to be because of the God that we serve. Come on, focus our faith so that our God can show himself as God. Again, don't want to take it long, but let me get you into the last part of this. This is why God doesn't want you to be afraid, because usually when you get in fear, you're out of control. That's why he doesn't want you in fear. I used to watch a cartoon, or kind of animation. When adults watch it, it's animation. When kids watch it's cartoons. But there's a show that had this kid. He's a martial arts kid. And the way these cartoons work is that he's a kid that has a lot of deficiencies. And if something happens over the course of the show, and he becomes strong, right? So this kid's a little martial arts kid. And one of the things they used to call him was weak knees. Because anytime he got in a situation where he was frightened, his knees would begin to shake. And he was out of control. And over the course of him getting stronger and learning his martial arts, he gets stronger. So where the fear is still there, but he's learned to conquer his fear. So the point in the story is that when we get afraid, we are out of control. Can't even control our body functions. Or you think straight and you start making decisions based on reactions. When our sound decisions should come from the Spirit leading and guiding us. Not from the overwhelming emotion that fear can cause, because that's what happens, right? You get that fear, and all of a sudden this overwhelming surge of emotion comes over you, and all of a sudden you can do something that you're not supposed to do. That's not good. You're out of control. I remember my wife, Joy, was hanging out with us. Jerry had passed her off because she was tired of her. No, that's not the case. we're the godparents, so she was hanging out with us, and Nitra took Joy to the store. So they going out, and y'all know Joy. Joy is out there. She's bubbly. Jerry said, man, Joy is a force. She was talking about Joy in theory and Joy in actuality. She's a force of power. So she's with Nitra. She's going out. She's bouncing around, and we're getting ready to go. And Joy also takes off, about to run across the street, and a car was coming. And Nitra in that moment, Joy, reached, make her freeze. Get back here, you know. But what if she had panicked? Just enjoyed. Said, oh, my Lord. My God, now we got to explain to Jerry why her daughter has a dent in her body. Right? Fear makes you out of control. Yeah, we probably would have been afraid then. But no, God wants you in control. Go back to Peter. You don't even have to go there. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5, remember, the devil roams around like a roaring lion. Why is the lion roaring? To get you to be afraid, to get you to run. That's what they do. They get out there and they roar and they try to scatter the herd so they can examine which one they should go after. They go after the weak ones. They're trying to make you scatter and do something that you shouldn't do. He roams around. The Bible says, but resist him. Yes. How? Standing firm in your faith. Come on. Refocus your faith. See, the fear gets you distracted and looking away, but you got to come right back. No, that's where my help is. Oh my gosh, I'm concerned about this, but I know that's where my strength is. Oh my God, I don't know where these bills are going to be paid, but I know where my provision is. So I'm not going to move away from that for too long. I'm going to redirect my focus and redirect my gaze. 1 Peter 4, 7. Let's see it again. 1 Peter 4 and 7. Let me get there. Get there. 1 Peter 4 and 7. Wrapping this up. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled. The end of all things is near. That was the mindset that the apostles under Jesus is coming back. He's coming back soon. The end of all things are near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled. This is where I'm going to end this because this ties into Pastor Michelle. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And I saw that. I said, man, what's Pastor Michelle is just starting this series on prayer. And here God's telling, look, I need you clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Now, what was the subject of Brian's message just recently? It was, it's either this one or the one before. It was watch and pray. Watch and pray. Why? Because God has set us up as watchers in the world. Pastor Michelle did it because Pastor Richard has been, or he could have been saying it from up here, but God's not going to do anything in this earth unless he comes through a man, right? He's going to introduce it into the world system. He set us up to be watchers so that as God's releasing things into the world, his watchers are out there to shout, here it comes! Here it comes! Go this way, not that way. We're the watchers. Standing on the wall. See, Brian said watch and pray. As God was dealing with me about this, and this is about fear, but he ends it in prayer. He said, yeah, you're going to watch and pray, and you're going to pray and obey. You're going to watch and pray, and you're going to pray and obey. And I said, well, Lord, are you replacing what Brian says? He says, no, it goes together. And Pastor Michelle just ministered it. So you're going to watch, you're going to pray, and then you're going to hear and then obey. Remember that? She ministered that. She said, hey, go into your secret, your closet, your innermost chamber, different translations, and pray to the Lord. And Pastor Michelle's minister, hey, well, okay, maybe the beginning part of the day when she's praying, she's declaring, she's decreeing what's going on. Father, we thank you that this is the case. Father, we thank you. You're our healing, health around. You know, she's decreeing, declaring over all of us. But she said when she prays in the evening, she's actually putting herself in a position so that she can hear what God's saying. So our dialect with God, it's not a one-way street where we're just shouting all these things to God and God act, but we're putting ourselves in position to hear what the Father is doing so that we can act. See, I'm going to put this before you. I don't think God threw corona out on the populace. Because I think if God put the corona on the populace, then there'll be nothing we can do. When God decided to flood the world, all those people died. It wasn't nothing you can do about that. That was done. Okay, if God decides to do it, it gets done. That's the way it is. No, because of the way that the world is, the way that man is, I mean, some people are saying it's not even natural. This is man engineering, whatever. He knew it was coming and coming out, and he knew that they were going to try to quarantine us and make us go into our homes. But in actuality, what they did is put the Christian in the greatest position to be affected that they could ever be. Because now we're all next to our quiet, secret place, and we can get in touch with our God. You don't even have to worry about all the distractions that used to be there. Those have been forcibly removed. They've been forcibly removed. I said, okay, you too busy to get with me? Watch this. I'm just saying, what if this situation has come about just so God can get that time with us? Because on the other end of this thing, God's ready to do something so great. He says, I need you to hear me. Yes. What's God saying? Man, what are you fasting to get this and that? No, fasting is so that we can hear what our God is saying. That's why I'm grateful for people like Pastor Michelle and Richard, for Pastor, I'm about to call you Pastor Jerry. I might be prophesying. Sister Jerry and Anisha, boy, they get up there and they decide they're going to pray and they be out there decreeing. I can hear it from upstairs. I'm like, oh, Lord, walls are tumbling down. No, something is going on in the spirit, people, and we need to cooperate with it. We can look at it as, oh, my gosh, the economy is being taken down, and, oh, what are we going to do? Or we can say, you know what, God is going to do something great coming out of this. And remember, he's not only positioning us to receive great miracles, but he has positioned us to be miracles. And I'm not ministering that right now. I just want to put that on your mind. Come on, you are being positioned so that you can be a miracle. Come on. I was just waiting to get the miracle, right? I wanted to get the miracle. I heard that and I was like, wait a minute. I gotta rethink this thing. God is positioning us to be a miracle, but we can't let fear control us. Put that to the side. Not that it won't be there. It's just don't focus on that. The news is out there. Get your information, but then come back to your God and direct your focus toward him, so that he can guide you in your faith. Fear wants you out of control. God wants you in control, under control, in faith, ready to receive and hear from him. Amen? That's all I have. That's all I have. Come on. If you are here and you are listening and you didn't tell somebody to go right now and say, you need to listen to this. Because this word is not just for us, it's for those around you. And you can be a blessing to the people that are around you, to the people that you know, if you allow God to use you to be a blessing. So come on, encourage somebody to listen to the word that God just gave you so that they can be encouraged and not be in fear. Amen. Praise God. I'm done. Come on, Pastor.
Praise God. That didn't wind your clock. Your stems broke. What a word. What a word. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just, since there's only just a few of us here, go ahead and stand. Stand here. If you want to stand in your living room or wherever you're at, if you're in your car, don't stand. But if you can and you want to stand, we're just going to praise God for a few minutes. And we're going to use our prayer language, use the Holy Spirit to celebrate and to apply what we have heard. We celebrate the hearing of the word and we apply it to our hearts through the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, first of all, we thank you for the word that we have heard. We thank you, Father, that your word does not fail. It does not fail, but you are faithful to your word. And as it has been heard tonight, Father God, I thank you that it is implanted deep in our hearts and into our spirits, Father. And I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continually build that and to bring it up to the surface and let us be changed because of the word that we heard. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Eto roba ramande ele kono kosiki basta rabo roko sondore kiri de la 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 wasa sharobo rebene mandondo rekine ne kara sata rabondo dele le la mando rosto rekiri de siri de ele barosto eta pato koto de ede bana mano kosondo roko ye Ele maroma sorora rabasinde reba rabasakara saraka didididere era basato roboso kotori. Father, we choose to focus to keep our gaze, our focus, our eyes on you, because you are our source, you are our life, our help, our peace, our joy, our strength, our ability. And in you, Father God, we place our trust. We will see you and we will see no other. We will not look at any other, but we will look at you. Blessed be your name, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name.
I just want to encourage you all. There's a word that you've probably been hearing on the news, and it's something that's just been resounding. They've been saying it, and they've been saying about a new normal after this is over, a new normal. And I heard in my spirit as my brother was ministering, what he was ministering about refocusing our faith, the Lord said, out of this time, we're going to have a renewed normal. As the body of Christ, we're going to have a renewed normal. And what my brother ministered tonight, that's that renewed normal. Laser-focused faith in seeing the Lord manifesting like never before. The Bible says when he comes back, he says, will he find faith in the earth? And I know out of this, we're going to see our faith focused right here. We're going to see a renewed normal in the body of Christ, and that's our faith. Establishing God's kingdom in the earth.
Amen. Amen. I'm ready. That's where we're going. That's what God is doing. Bringing us into a different place. Not that we haven't been there before, but bringing us back to a place of His glory, of His power, of His Spirit demonstrated in the earth. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. Praise God. Praise God. I call you blessed. I say that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful, that you are not afraid. You are not in fear, but your focus is continually on God, and that you are surrounded with favor. Sickness and disease cannot come near you. Poverty and lack are not in your house. You are provided with great abundance, and you walk daily in the Spirit, and you bring forth joy and power and love to those around you, those that you know, those that you come in contact with. In Jesus' name, we celebrate and rejoice in you. We call you blessed, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. We will see you all again Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., online on our website, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Use that share button. Learn how to use that share button that John was talking about, because this is good stuff. Good stuff. Praise God. You're dismissed. We'll see you guys Sunday.